And didn't Otis do a good job last week? I thought he did an awesome job, excellent. Everybody said yes. I didn't hear a negative of no, so that's good. Yeah, I told him, I said, you didn't do a good job. You have to sit in that corner. No, he knows that's not true. I text him later, either the next day, I said, thanks for doing a good job. You know, it's not an easy thing to get up in front of people and speak. It's not easy. But you know what? With the Holy Spirit, God has to use men and women to speak his word, to speak the word of life unto people. And so, you know, he has to use. And so we got to get rid of our fears. We got to lay down those things and say, Lord, help me. Now, we know when God calls, God helps. When God calls, God prepares. When God calls, God helps and gives what we need to do the job that is before us. But in Luke, as we talk about Christmas, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, if you would, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, out of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. We need the favor of God. You might say, how do you get that? You get with him, and you lay your life before him. And you say, Lord, use me. And you put your faith in Christ and the cross and what he did at Calvary's cross, and the favor of God will be there. The favor of God will be there. Just as he spoke to us, as the favor of God is upon this place, this church, praise God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I have not know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Look at starting with verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And here we see the mighty power of our God, people. God, first of all, had to find someone who would do what he wanted to be done. We had the mastermind of our God lay out a plan for a salvation for mankind through the birth of his son. That's a mighty God, people. We sang that song, How Great Is Our God. I could have sang that song for ages, it seems like. I mean, you know, it's like, how great is He? How great is He? To think of a plan, the mastermind of all masterminds, the God of the universe, the Trinity, three yet one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to come up with this plan for humanity. Not so much for Himself, because He was with no sin. He had no sin. He needed no Savior. He's been here forever. That's mind-boggling to know that our God, the God that you serve, has been here forever. He was here before the dinosaurs. They were here. Thank God for them. Now we have the oil and all kinds of other stuff. And there's a lot into that. He was here before the sun, the moon, and the stars. He was here before the universe was made. He was here. He was alive and well. And one day, knowing that man that He loved so much in the future, that He would make us, that He had a plan. And that plan started with the birth of our Savior. Now, you know, we would think, give me some water, please. Thank you. We would think that, you know, Jesus or God the Father made up this plan that Jesus would be born, you know, in a palace of some kind. Really? Honestly? He deserved to be born. Thank you so much. He deserved to be born in a place that was top-notch. He deserved to be born in a place that was reserved for only kings and queens, a noble status. He deserved to be born in that kind of atmosphere, that kind of place. But God chose another place. And we know the story of how when that time had come for Mary to give birth. And we know the story from the back, how the enemy tried to destroy and tried to kill and tried to do all kinds of things. And that's the story of our lives too, where the enemy is out there to destroy people. But God said He's come to give us life. As we look into the manger, you know, I have this tie on and it just has Jesus on it. Well, the birth of our Savior. As we look into this manger, we see life in that manger. But if anyone looks other places besides in that manger, what He did, what He was going to do, their life becomes meaningless. You know, I don't know if you heard, but in the last week or so, there have been at least 4 or 5 people that have killed themselves in this area. Gaydon, Kaplan, North of Million area, south of Kaplan. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And let me tell you, there's no hope without God. There's no hope. But let me tell you, when Jesus came, the Father was giving hope to humanity. Giving hope to humanity. That as we come today to celebrate, that God Almighty gave hope to us. And our hope and our faith is in Christ and what He's done at Calvary's cross. And let me tell you, anytime we start to sway from keeping our faith in Him and trusting in Him and what He did, let me tell you, the enemy, it says, comes in like a flood. Yeah. And let me tell you, he wants to destroy God's people. He wants to kill us and destroy us and destroy everything that we're doing for the kingdom of God. That's what he wants to do. But let me tell you, it says that God gives life, people. Life to humanity. Life. Jesus, the Father, was the mastermind. And here he had Jesus born. in a smelly old stable with cows and sheep and hay and stuff all over. And with cows and sheep and all that comes all kinds of stuff. Huh. But when Jesus was born and that light started to shine from heaven above to that place, it says the angel went to the shepherds that was shepherding their sheep. He didn't go to Pharaoh. He didn't go to the high officials. But this angel went to the shepherds and announced that the Savior, the King of the world, the Lord, had been born. And it says they saw the light and they walked to the place where Jesus was laying in a manger. I think more vulnerable than anything, but with God, we're not vulnerable because He protects. And as He's laying in that manger with Joseph and Mary on either side of Him, or she's holding Him, something in there, that these shepherds come and see the King of Kings. You know, if Jesus would have been born in a palace, no shepherd would have gone to that palace. And we know that Jesus is the chief, or the Father is the chief shepherd of His sheep. As everything comes around to that, and He is our shepherd. And anytime a sheep gets out of line, that's why we feel a few breaks every once in a while. It hurts, but it's for our best interests. And He takes us and He carries us and helps us to get mended physically and spiritually. Because that's what He wants. But here Jesus was born in that manger to give life unto us. The mastermind, the great God Jehovah, gave us the Savior of the world. We are to give that Savior out to anyone and anyone that wants Him. We're to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ forever, till eternity, till He comes again, which is soon, or till we die. That our mouth is forever to give praise and honor to our God. That we worship Him, we praise Him, and we honor Him. The mastermind to think of a plan that this baby would be born of a virgin, born of God, born of God as the Savior of the world. And we know as He was born, He lived a life of 33 and a half years without a single sin in His life. Sinless. So He could be the perfect sacrifice for us. You know, as Christmas time, it's a time where family gathers together, but also it's a time where we think maybe of people that have gone before us. Is that true? You know, last night we were on my side of the family, we all got together. And you know, I looked around and I said, oh, my father's not there. Been dead years ago, 9, 10 years. But I remember during the week I was just thinking, Lord, I wish I could go and visit him. Just, you know, I said, Lord, I'd love to just drive up to that home, get down, and just go and visit. And give him a hug. Tell him you love him. You know, just love to do that. I can't drive up there anymore. No, the house is not there anymore. Everything is gone. It's gone, completely gone. But the memories are there. People, love your loved ones. You may not agree on everything. Who does? You may not agree on all, but let me tell you, love your loved ones. Love your family. And it seems like when we pray for our families more, we love them more. Huh? That's why God talks about praying for your enemies. Not that your family is your enemies, but God says to pray for your enemies. Because when you pray for your enemy or someone that has hurt you or done something bad to you, God works upon your heart in giving you a love for them. So today, you know, think about your family. You know, think about those that have gone before you some. And you might shed a few tears like I did. But you think. You might think of your grandmother or some. My grandmothers are all gone. My grandfathers are all gone. They're all gone. And you think about them and you might shed a few tears. And I understand. But let me tell you, there's a hope as a Christian. There's a hope as Christians that we will see our loved ones that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior one day. And we will be able to celebrate and have a big celebration with them one day. Because they're with our Savior and Lord at this time. Take the time to thank God for what He's doing, but to thank Him for sending His Son Jesus so that we would have liberty and freedom. But you know, a different aspect on Him coming and being born. If Jesus came and was born and stopped there and lived His life and just died at an old age, we still wouldn't have freedom from sin. It's because of His death that we have freedom and liberty. That blood had to be shed. But it all started with Jesus coming and being born of a virgin, giving of His life for humanity, obeying the Father, and doing what He wants Him to do. During the week, yesterday, as I was about to leave work, you know, you get there, you do your stuff, and you have to leave to go deliver mail. And I was one of the first ones, and I was ready to leave, and I stood there, and I said, look, I mean, the place is huge, so I was hollering. I said, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. And I said, don't forget why we celebrate Christmas. It's because of the birth of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Man, on the other side of the building, I heard, amen. Heard somebody say, praise God, on this end. Then all of a sudden, there was just a hush of silence. And I said, well, praise God. We have one side that is worshiping Him, and we have one side that's a little silent. That's okay. That's okay. But you see, it's not all the things we get, which that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's the birth that our Savior has come, people. And no one can deny that He lived. It's been documented in the Word. It's been documented in other books that have been written at that time, that our Savior and Lord came, and He came for you. And we can go and celebrate that He's come for us. Nothing else. There's nothing wrong with all the other stuff, Christmas trees and whatever else you want to do, whatever, that's fine. But always remember, keep Christ in Christmas, because it's Him that we celebrate, and what He did for us in the coming for us and helping us this day. Amen. You can stand, please. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit in this place. We thank You that we've come to celebrate our Savior and Lord being born. Thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You for what You've done for us. We give You praise and honor, Lord God. Father, I pray that You would bless Your people, Lord God. Lord, help them to accomplish Your will. We ask this through Your name. Protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would look this way. Jelaine and I, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And I tried to keep it to about an hour or so because I know it's a time where people want to go with their families and do things. But look, have a great day. If you're traveling, I pray protection upon you. If you're meeting with families, that you would be a positive influence upon their lives and celebrate who He is to this day. We appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, and we love you, and we pray you have a great week this week. And we'll see you next Sunday or Wednesday at 10 o'clock, okay? Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye. I know.